come with a message that's targeted to anyone. And I'll stare at you, Katie. It's not targeting you. But I'm always thrilled when somebody responds in a particular way that may not even have been mentioned at all. But nevertheless, it's interesting to watch God move. So if you feel like this is a message for you today, okay, it is. Let it be that way. But I want you to think through it, realize that it's if it is, it's not by my plan, but God does his thing. Oh boy, not the message yet. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name we come to you, Lord. And God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being alive. Thank you so much for being engaged in our lives. God, help us to walk appropriately before you. God, help us to walk in the light. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you and you want to follow along that way, again, I'm using the New Living Translation, so it's going to sound a little odd to you. And for those of you that are visiting or have or at least never been here before, I would tell you that years ago, I was dyed-in-the-wool King James guy, and then I became a King James NASB guy, then I became a King James NASB NIV guy, and then we had an opportunity to go talk to some people that were having a struggle with a verse, and they couldn't figure out what this verse meant. And so myself and Jimmy went over to their house, and on a whim, I took every translation that we had in the building with us. Because I recognize when you use a direct translation in another language, it may not come across exactly the way it does in English. Well, almost never does. In fact, the reason we have different translations is there's some words that are completely different in different versions because of different translations. So anyway, we were going through it, and I went through every translation that we had, and they were going, no, 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 that's not it, that's not it. And the Chinese Bible is direct translation. So finally, I picked up the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, and I flipped to that page, and I read it to them, and David and Grace Tran go, that's it. And I went, wow, really? The paraphrase, not a direct translation, got it right in Chinese. Wow, okay. So it started changing some things. I particularly used the NLT. It is a translation, but it's in truly modern English. So if it's hard for you, lo siento, I'm sorry. We'll get through it. It'll work. So anyway, that's where we're going to be in. And I'm actually going to start reading, I think, in the book of John, just for a moment, the first five verses. And it goes, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Our relationship is not with Scripture. Scripture points to He who our relationship exists. Scripture points to Jesus. All Scripture points to Jesus. And if you can't see it, it's okay that people on the road to Emmaus couldn't see it either. But when God opens the Scripture to you, expands the Scripture to you, you can see it. But you also have to be aware that, as Spurgeon said, the greatest commentary comes from the author himself. Our relationship with Jesus is a for real thing. And these first five verses of John talked about that. Now, strangely enough, if you look at 1 John chapter 1, first four verses, it's going to be similar. And it says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. The one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father And when he was revealed to us, we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the Jesus that we speak of. This is the Jesus who you can still today have a living relationship with. And as a Christian, you must. You must. You need to walk and talk Jesus Christ. It goes on and says, this is the message we've heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. I'm going to stop there at least for the moment. And I'm going to share with you, sometimes people complain that I use stories. They're called parables. That's what a parable is. And I will tell you that if you don't like them, then you're rejecting the way that Jesus taught, which he taught almost exclusively in parable. So anyway, moving forward, I'm calling this one the Wolf Conundrum. This is the story. And that's the person's last name, Wolf. Somebody that Evie and I knew well. And I'll tell you, he got involved in a horrible situation, and he got rejected by the community he lived in, and he ended up living in the middle. It's a bush community to start with, but he lived in the bushiest of the bush. There was a small travel trailer that was gutted, and he lived in this travel trailer. And since I visited him out there, I can tell you what was in it. He had a twin bed mattress. He had a 55-gallon drum converted to a wood stove. He had a chair, a kind of an easy chair, and a small table that he had a Coleman stove on. And he lived out there for months and months on end, and went and visited him, and we talked about things like repentance, you know, repentance. And this is where you've sinned, and you turn away from that sin, and at least that's the way we normally phrase it. But what it really comes down to is you missed the mark. Years ago, when I'd moved up here, I'd left my recurve bow down south, and it was a very expensive one. I got it from a store going out of business for $12 when I was a sophomore in high school. I used cheap arrows, but my mom sent it up to me, and I got the package, and I opened it up, and I was standing right at the top of the stairs going out the basement door going up to the parking lot. I'm just in the parking lot, and there's two light poles or telephone poles at the end of the parking lot towards where the Pioneer home is now. It didn't used to be. There were woods there, and then on this side there was a very nice home. But I'm standing there, and a young man was standing there with me. He goes, can you hit anything with one of those? And I go, sure. And I'm going, oh God, please let me hit something that I'm actually aiming at. And I knock the arrow, and I come back, and no, Josie, I'm not aiming at you. And I look at that the pole right over here, and I let fly. And I'm going, I haven't shot a bow in several years, so I'm really well practiced, right? Well, the arrow goes flying down there, sticks dead center in the pole, and I'm thinking, yes. In reality, I was about 18 inches low. I missed the mark. I hit the pole. Young man thought I did great. I missed the mark. We live in relation with Jesus Christ, and it's our job to strive to hit the mark. And when we don't, because of the shed blood of the Lamb, we can come to Jesus and just confess our sin. And he makes it all right. He makes it right. And we want to be right with him. We want to walk in that newness of life. Well, Brother Wolf was struggling with, well, he was a Christian, but he was struggling with letting go of sin and finding restoration with the rest of the body, but mostly with God. And he was living on what he could hunt. He was sluicing ducks, crawling up on some of the ponds back in this particular island and shooting the ducks on the water and wading out and grabbing them. Personally, I get tired of duck like after the first bite. But he was barely surviving. And I told him, should you change your mind, should you turn away from what you're doing and want to walk, go find a marine radio and call and I'll send a plane out for you. Well, one day the phone rings and it's marine radio and he goes, I'm ready. So I sent a plane. Rod Judy went out and picked him up, brought him back to Petersburg. And as he's crawling out the back of the plane, Rod looks at me and goes, and I have never, you've been around, Jonah, you've been around people that stink, right? Okay. I've been around people that stink too. I've never been around anyone that stunk like Brother Wolf stunk. It's not his real name, by the way. So get him out, take him to church, First Baptist in Petersburg, because we had a shower down there because I didn't want to put him in our shower. So I told him, take all your clothes off and get in the shower and stay there till I come back. And he goes, well, how long's that going to be? And I go, Evie's going to wash your clothes and I'm going to go down and pick up some new socks and underpants because some of this and t-shirts, this is just not going to work. So he's going to be in there while Evie does her thing. I went down and got some clothes in addition, went back to him with clean clothes. He got out of the shower and I said, let's sit down and talk. So we sat down. I go, what happened? And he goes, well, I decided that there was no point to my repentance. So what I was going to do was take my own life. So he loaded his 270, put it on the floor, stuck the barrel under his chin, put his thumb on the trigger, and starts to go. And just as he starts to go, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, turn on the radio. That's it. Turn on the radio. Wow, word from God. So what he does is he stopped for a minute, he put the rifle to the side, and he switched on his little radio. And the only radio station you get was KRSA, which was Christian Radio Southeast, Alaska. And he turned it on, and Charles Stanley was just starting a message. And he goes, so you've sinned. Now what do we do with it? Today, story of David and Bathsheba. And then he goes ahead and Brother Wolf is on his face on the floor, repenting, comes up stinking, but not on the inside. Restored to his relationship with Christ. Now, God had never left him, but he had walked away from the Lord. And he makes it into the nearest thing to a little town, gets on somebody's marine radio and calls. And so we're sitting here and I'm watching and I'm looking at his eyes. And I'll tell you, this thing of watching body language is no joke. I had a little meeting with three other guys this week. And I mentioned to them, I said, you know, just so you all know, in fair disclosure, State of Alaska spent a lot of money teaching me to watch facial expressions and body language. And I went through the behavioral pattern recognition of the Israelis and had a lot of other people in Missouri taught that. And so really, your face reveals a great deal, as do your eyes. But your body language is pretty spectacular, too. And it's always fun to watch people either get real stiff in the face, which tells me they're hiding, or they do things like this, or they just look away. And it's so much fun, but it's true. I mean, and they're trying to do things, and then by doing what they're doing, they're just revealing a great deal. But it's kind of interesting. So I'm doing this. I'm watching him, and he thinks he's hiding. He thought when we visited him before, he thought he was hiding, but he wasn't hiding. It was clear. You know, when you're embracing sin in your heart, and sometimes you don't even know what it is, but when God reveals it to you, you become accountable and responsible. And sometimes it's enough that you know. And it's up to you to choose to receive a gift that we don't talk about as a gift very often, to walk in a gift of repentance. God gave you the ability to repent. You choose to exercise it. You know, if you want big muscles, you better lift weights. If you want discernment, walk practicing discernment. It strengthens. But repentance is the same way. The more tender your heart is towards the Lord, the easier it is to walk away from sin. So you can hit the mark rather than miss the mark. And sometimes the target is that whole wall. It's really easy to hit. But most of the time, it's one point on the target. And anything off that point, it is missing the mark. God's called you to walk in the light. And you know, the interesting thing about light is it is. It exists. It's for real. In the known universe, light is for real. And where light exists, darkness cannot. Darkness is not an entity. Darkness is an absence of light. You've got choices to make today, tomorrow, all the days of your life. When the Lord points out to you that you've missed the mark, all you've got to do is turn away from missing the mark and go back to hitting the mark. This comes down to it at its point of origin, asking Jesus into your heart. And I say it that way because we typically say it that way, but really what it is believing in your heart just who this Jesus is. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus. And state it. Say it. Say it from your mouth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You seek His face in this. My prayer was, God, I've always known there's a God, and Lord, I choose to believe that you're Jesus. And when I said that, believing in my heart, head knowledge, heart knowledge, but when I said that, I knew instantly what born again was, because I wasn't before, but I was then. I was born again. I was born from above. I was converted. I was a Christian. Didn't know what that was altogether, but I knew I was one. I knew I needed so much more to know so much more. But relationships grow when you walk with each other. When Evie and I first met in Anchorage at that Billy Graham Crusade School of Evangelism, if I embarrass you, now, Soren, I want you to be braced for what I'm about to say here. If I embarrass you, I'm sorry. I noted that she had cute ankles. Of all the things, and she had on this rust-colored skirt and jacket that I found out that she had made. I don't remember the blouse that was under it, but I think it was tan or khaki colored. But what really got me was more than the ankles is she smiled, and the world, my world, lit up. And I, I was pretty excited because earlier in the day, I was in a class. Jay Kessler, a youth guy, most boring guy I'd ever heard, was preaching, and God spoke to my heart because I was incredibly content at 31. Being single and absolutely celibate. And God said, I want to complete you with marriage. And it was so strong that I wrote in the margins of my notebook that we still have somewhere. I brought mine. I packed it at least. Well, no, it's mine. No, you didn't pack yours. I know what you're saying. But I said, so you're the God who supplies. So Lord, please show me my wife. And then I've got this huge world enlightening smile with cute ankles. Yeah. At a school of evangelism, I was stoked. So I didn't realize that she was the one for another 2 days. It took her a little longer than that. She got it. She got another month before I came down to Petersburg and proposed. In fact, I will tell you that I went down to Petersburg with that intent, and Lisa's nodding because she was one of the people praying for this to happen. I'll tell you, Earl had asked me to preach that evening in church. I came down on a Friday night. She picked me up, took me to back to KRSA, and I watched her be the radio announcer, which is just really exciting. That's called a lie, not really. And then she took me and dropped me off at the church. And the next morning, she picked me up and we went to church. And then we went out and did a little barbecue and, well, steak and baked potatoes at Blind Slough Hatchery. And then we came back, and Earl had asked me to preach that night. And I preached that night, and Evie played piano. Oh, how cute. And at the end, Evie was staying there, and this lady who I had no idea who she was came up to Evie and said, "We need to talk." And they go out back. And I've learned over the years that sometimes it's important just to, if you got a question, you should ask the Lord. You know, the author of all creation, the word of light, the word of life is for real. And this is who our relationship is with. I said, "God, what's she telling Evie?" And then I'll tell you what God told me. He said, "She's telling her that you're the one." And then Evie comes back and her face is crimson red. And I go, "What'd she say to you?" And she goes, "I'm not saying anything. What did she say to you?" That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. I can tell you that there's nothing better than walking day in and day out in the presence of the Lord. Having your sins forgiven is huge, but that just starts the relationship. And when it becomes more and more important to you to walk in that relationship, it's your relation with Him first, and then love others as you love yourself. And Evie and I both told each other, the best you can hope for is second in our lives, because Jesus has to be first. And just as a side note, I had met this gentleman from Israel at a meeting. We were both guest speakers, and I was just finishing mine, and Benjamin was coming up next, and I was getting ready to walk by him. He was still seated off stage because they obviously couldn't introduce him while I'm still up there. And I'm saying, "God, should I say anything to him?" And I knew what I needed to say to him. I walked over and put my hand on his shoulder and said, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai." And his head snaps up because he's got this Christian sheriff speaking a little Hebrew to him. And I just said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And he looked at me and he goes, "Toda, toda rabah. Thank you very, very much, or a thousand thank yous." And then he spoke, great speaker. We got together afterwards. I invited him to Missouri to speak to all of our sheriffs. He ends up coming. But when he got there, we were in the hotel and he called and said, "We're here." So we met him and talked for a couple hours downstairs and everybody went to bed. We no more than crawl into bed, turn the light off, and that I get a text. And it's from Benjamin Anthony, Benjamin. And it says, "Sheriff, when Prime Minister Ben Gurion came to the United States on his first trip, he met, in addition to others, he met with Albert Einstein." He goes, "A good Jewish man." And he says, "Of what did they discuss?" Okay, that's pretty stoic information. And he's expecting an answer from me. So I cheated. I said, "Lord, what's the answer to this question?" We all hear from God in different ways. God leads you by tugging at your heart. God leads you by expanding scripture to you. God leads you by showing you things. God leads you through brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes through the lost world. God leads you by speaking to your heart of hearts. That's still small voice of the Holy Spirit. There's many ways that God speaks. For Evie, it's most often as the Prince of Peace, wherever the greatest peace with God sets is where the Lord is, and that's where Evie gleaned. My case, I just said, "God, what did they talk about?" And that still small voice of the Holy Spirit said, "Me." So I typed G-D because they don't spell out God. And pregnant pause, then bing. And I open it up, and he goes, "How did you know that?" And I typed back, "I ask Adonai, Lord." And what do you do with that? What do you do with, do you know that if you sit here with Jesus in your heart, you have sum total of everything in the universe embodied in the Holy Spirit of the living God existing within your spirit. You sit here able to have fellowship with the ruler and creator of the universe because he chose to love us. And he wants fellowship with us. And good heavens, I rejoice with all the guys like, well, Ron and Gary and I that are balding, because I think bald people must be special to God, you know? Not really. But I will tell you that you're special in his sight. You're sufficiently special that he chose to shed his blood, all of it, for you and everyone else, but for you. But the question is what do you do with him? Switch back here for just a minute. I hate popping glasses on and off, and this is a large, when I got this Bible, the print was large enough that I could actually read it without my glasses. Now I can do it, but I have to squint. When he says, "But we're living in the light as God is in the light," then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now it goes on and says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing him, or showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So, two places. You're either a Christian or you're not. If you are a Christian, does it mean that you never sin? No. Your sin is forgiven. But if you want restoration of fellowship, you confess when you mess up, when you miss the mark, when you miss the mark, you confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to restore that perfect fellowship between you and him. This is not hard stuff. It's easy stuff. The part that's hard is walking in it, because you start to like your sin. And repent doesn't mean saying you're sorry. It means letting go of it. And sometimes, for me, on that April 1st, 1981, 15 in the morning, end of the road, Sitka, Alaska, it was the moment that I chose to prefer what God thinks over what I thought. I chose to abandon my disbelief and chose to believe. And you do. It's like love. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. You get to choose to love or choose to reject. There's emotions that go with a bunch of different things, but it has to do more with lust than it does with love. Love is a completely different embodiment of Christ. And he's called us to do something really hard. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And when you choose not to, you're not acting according to what God has for you. Remember when he asked the disciples, "Who do people say I am? And or who do you say I am?" And Peter responds, "Well, you're the Son of the living God." And he goes, "That's right. You got that from God himself." And then he turns around and he said, "You know, this is what's going to be in the future." And Peter goes, "No." And he goes, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Same person, moments apart. This walk is a constant walk. This walk is a walk that is every moment of every day. Every moment of every day. And how you choose to walk in that will reflect how quickly you become conformed to the image of Jesus, how well you can walk hitting the mark. Because the more practice you have at exactness, and you go, "Well, you know, how close is close enough?" Well, I don't know. One of my policey jobs was a sniper on a SWAT team, And you know, I started looking at it, and my weekly qualification was moving a 10-inch moving target at 300 yards. One round from a cold barrel, two rounds from a hot barrel. Took place in a 25-yard motion. And you know, it's not it you know, a moving target that's 10 inches, that's huge, it's big. And until you try to hit it with caffeine in your system. Or if the wind's blowing a little bit and you don't make allowance for it, or the humidity has changed radically, barometric pressure has changed, then you start thinking, well, I'm not aiming at 10 inches. I'm aiming at a 0.3-inch target, and I need to hit that 0.3-inch center of that target, and I need to do it consistently every time. Well, that's all God's requiring of you, is just hit the target. Exactly, but hit the target. And if you're not, then you've sinned and you're walking in it, and let go of it and return to hitting the target. What you have to do is give up pride that says, no, I'm okay. No, you're not. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So when you sin, confess it to Him. Turn away from the sin. Don't go back to it like a dog returns to its vomit. Doesn't that gross you out when you got a dog and it throws up and starts to eat it? Do you think it's any prettier before God? So you start being aware of yourself. I remember having a bad day at work one time, and it just there used to be 14 bars on South Franklin in front. I have no idea how many there are now. And we had gone from bar fight to bar fight to bar fight all night. I don't like fights. Bars were closed, people were tucked in. I went back and I was just frustrated. And I was walking down the hallway, and I just turned and I punched the wall, and I said a word that I shouldn't have said. And I heard a couple guys in the back go, "Yeah, that's White. He's one of us." And that still small voice goes, "Are you one of theirs or one of mine?" Okay. So it gave me an opportunity on the spot to, what's that R word again? Repent and turn away from that. I go, no, I walk with Jesus. Where do you walk? Where do you walk? The Apostle John, whether in the first chapter of the book of John or the first chapter of 1 John, starts off explaining to you just who this Jesus is. Just who this Jesus is. And then he tells you that we're all sinners, but he's called us to walk in the light. So when you miss the mark, we have an advocate before the Father, chapter 2. And he's made it so if you confess your sins to him, you don't have to tell me, but you've got to confess your sins to him. And if you've affected me, then you might want to make it right with me too, which is, for some reason, it's harder for us to contemplate getting right with our brother and sister in Christ than it is to get right with God Himself. That makes no sense, other than we have a misplaced sense of who the Lord is. So, what about you today? Where are you in this? And where do you want to be? That's not complex. Now, if you say, yeah, so you don't miss the mark anymore. No, every day I miss the mark. But every day, I don't let it stand because God has given me a way past it. And I try not to be repetitive on the same sin. You know, and you go, well, what kind of sins are you talking about? Oh, well, I don't know. Do you have pride? Do you have pride that's unreasonable? Does it bother you if you think people have an image of you that's not what you want it to be? Do I like firearms? I love firearms, but I try to not allow myself to lust after them anymore. Though Kel-Tec just came out with a 5.7 model that looks pretty cool. No detachable magazine, 20 rounds through stripper clips, one round in the chamber. That's 21 rounds of 5.7. Yeah, I don't see that I'm going to get that. Would I like to? Oh, I'd like to have two of them for each of our go bag. I think we both need one. No. No. So resistance is not futile, to quote Star Trek. We can resist. We can choose righteousness over sin because God has made it so that we can. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. When's the last time that you resisted temptation to the point of shedding your own blood just through your resistance? Yeah, I haven't done that. And Lord willing, won't need to. Walk in the light. We're going to close. We have a, what song are we singing? Say that again. Take the name of Jesus with you. And if there's somebody in the room that you need to get right with them, get right with them. You know how you do that? You walk up to them and you go, "Hey, I did this. You're making a confession, and I'm really sorry. I think I offended. I'm confident I offended you. Would you please forgive me? I'm really sorry. Would you please forgive me?" Because sometimes it's one thing to say you did something, but it's, you know how much harder it is to ask for forgiveness? And if it's between you and the Lord, God, I've missed the mark. I've missed the mark a bunch. And this is what I did. Lord, would you forgive me and restore me to right and perfect fellowship with you? Or, Lord, like Greg, I believe that you're the Jesus that the whole Bible reflects. I believe that in my heart of hearts. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you're come in the flesh. You know, that's pretty simple. That is a Romans path to salvation, even though it doesn't sound like the Romans road. It doesn't sound like four spiritual laws or how to have peace with God, but it's believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus and confessing him out your mouth. Not complex. Let's stand, pray, and then sing. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you, Lord. And Father, for this life that you've placed in our hands, thank you. And Father, if we're here today and we know that we're walking in a little separation from you, any separation's too far, that we've missed the mark again. By your grace, God, we'll confess that to you and just ask you to forgive us of our sins and restore us to that right and perfect fellowship with you. And Father, for any that are here that just need to ask you into their heart, help them to simply do business with you. God, I ask you to bless the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart. And God, give us a heart that desires beyond all things to be right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's always, if you need someone to pray with, I'll be up here through the song. And if not, that's okay too. The key is whatever you do, don't walk out of here not right with God. Let's sing. Name of Jesus with